You're either in Jesus' flock or you're not. And it says that that he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. His sheep know his voice, it says. See, I believe that the Lord is calling. I mean, even right now, today, in this service, the presence of the Holy Spirit and the way that God works, he's calling. And the wonderful thing is, I had two sermons today. I told Ben, I got two. But I think the Lord only has one message. I might have two sermons. He's never confused. Little Samuel, back in 1 Samuel chapter 3, says that God spoke to him and he was calling his name. Remember that story? If you've been around the church a long time, you know. But his mother, I talked about last week, she prayed, she gave him. And then Samuel, he's a little boy. They don't even have a room for him, so they put him in the Holy of Holies. And by the time the Old Testament rolls around, nobody went in the Holy of Holies but the high priest on the Day of Atonement. That's the only day he went in there. Samuel now, if you imagine, that's his bedroom. He's sleeping next to the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of the presence of God with his people. And that's his bedroom. You know what? I want my bedroom to be in the presence of God in the midst of his people. I don't want to be out in the camp, and I don't want to be outside the camp. I want to make my bedroll right there next to the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant. And he hears God call his name. Debbie. Ruth. Ken. All throughout the Bible, God called people. He called Moses out of the burning bush. Moses. You're my man. I don't want to go. You're going anyway. The interesting thing is that when God calls Samuel, Samuel says, "Here I am." And he jumps up and he runs to Eli, the priest. And Eli says, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." So he goes back to the Holy of Holies. And again, pretty soon he hears his name, Samuel. Samuel. And it says he gets up and he runs back to Eli again. "Here I am, here I am." No, I didn't call you now. You must be having dreams. You go back. Because the man of God didn't know the voice of God. He and his sons had got so far away. See, you can live in the temple and not know God. You can be a pastor or a minister, be in church all your life and know every Sunday school lesson and every Bible story and not know God. Because it even says Samuel, whose mother had given him to God, and he's to live here all the days of his life, and he was living on his mother's prayers and his mother's faith, but he hadn't met God yet. So he didn't know his voice. Finally, Eli says, I think that's God speaking to you. I think that's God. Next time you hear that, he says, after the third time, next time. So God actually called him four times. Has God been calling you? Has he been calling you? And he hasn't given up, has he? He's been calling you. He's been calling your name. He wants you to be in his flock. His sheep know his voice. He wants you to be in his flock. You know how you know it's God's voice? Couple of things that are really important. First thing is God never contradicts himself. What he said in the Bible is true. He will never contradict what the Bible says is true. I was preaching at a church. The pastor had just left, fell immorally and left his wife and two children, ran off with another woman in the church. And I was to preach there. And I was in the pastor's study trying to get ready. And I looked in a trash can, and there was a wadded up piece of paper. And I'm nosy, I guess. I got the paper out, and it was a letter this pastor had written to his mother, godly woman. He said, "Myself and this lady, we have prayed and fasted about this decision, And we believe it's God's will. And you know what? They didn't have to pray about that. God already expressed his will when he said, do not commit adultery. He's never going to tell you, oh, it's okay, go ahead. He's already said, do not commit adultery. So if God was speaking, he would say, stop this now, go home, work it out with your wife. I'm calling you, John. John. Andrew, I see you over there under that tree. Come here, son. Peter, come on. He's calling you, Jasmine. He's calling you. He's calling you. He's calling your name. And you can be stubborn and keep putting him off. And, well, it's Sunday morning. I don't want to wrinkle my dress. Or, you know, but God is calling you. And you have been doing the do's and not doing the don'ts. And you've been around and you've been inside. But do you know God? Do you know God? Do you know him? Do you really know him? I lived on mom and dad's faith for a long time. When I was 14 years old, I finally realized I need to know God for myself. Dad's a great Christian. Mom's a great, I gotta know. And one night on the Sunday night service, he started calling me Mike. Boy, it's an awful thing to hear God call your name when you're not where you're supposed to be. He never contradicts his word, and he always wants you to be close to him. I don't want to live alone. Please help me find the right guy. Please help me find the right girl. And he might help you do that. But first of all, he calls you to himself. And when you're living in his presence, see, some of you have drifted far away from God and he's still speaking, but you don't hear him anymore. Come here, Ben. I want to do something. Stand right up there at the corner, up on the platform. Okay. I'm going to do something. Did you hear what I said? Come a little closer.
Ben, I love you with all my heart, and God's going to do great things through you.
You see, he couldn't hear me. He couldn't hear me because he was too far away. It's never God that's far away from you. It's you that's far away from God. Let me say that again. It's never God that's far away from you. It's you that are far away from God. And he speaks to you. I'm telling you 100%. And some of you, you're so into religion that you don't know Jesus. Because God speaks this way, this way, this way. Therefore, it's over. See, he won't contradict what's in his word, but he will speak things in alignment with his word to you specifically that he wants you to do or you to be. And it's always for your good, but it's most assuredly for his kingdom. He's calling you today. I believe he's calling somebody today. The other thing is, we never get still enough to hear him. You got to be still. Be still and know that I'm God. All the clutter of this world and all the noise and you think you're earning something by being busy and you're going to impress God, you're not going to impress God. Remember Mary and Martha? And Martha was upset at Mary. How can you just sit there? We got food to cook. And Jesus says, Martha, Mary's doing the best thing. Somebody's got to cook dinner, don't get me wrong. But the best thing is to sit at the feet of Jesus. We got to know his word. We got to know his presence. And we got to get still enough to hear him. Remember Elijah? Remember Elijah? He He had just defeated 850 prophets of Baal. He had stood on Mount Carmel and fire fell out of the sky and consumed his sacrifice. And all the people, they were confessing, "The Lord is God, the Lord is God." And these prophets of Baal were taken out and killed. I mean, 850 evil men died that day. And then, Elijah hears that one woman, her name was Jezebel, she wanted to get him, she wanted to kill him. And Elijah ran off by himself, and he's sitting under a broom tree. I don't know what kind of tree that is. He's sitting under that thing exhausted. He's been running, and he has been going, and he's been going day and night, and he's felt like he was the only one. And he's sitting under this thing, and he says, "God, please just kill me. I'm too tired." Man, I have literally prayed that prayer. I'm like, "Lord, anyway, soon or honorable, just take me home. I'm just too tired." And God did a couple of things for Elijah. He calls him to go into a cave. And Elijah, he knew God's voice by this time, and he went into the cave. Then God did some amazing things. He says, "Come to the mouth of the cave." And he comes to the mouth of the cave, and God sent a great storm. I mean, it was like this massive tornado. And it says God was not in the storm. Then there was an earthquake. God was not in the earthquake. Then there was fire. God was not in the fire. See, we want God to do some kind of big, huge, cataclysmic thing. Then we'll know it's Him talking to us. But God wasn't in the earth, wind, and fire. And then it says that He heard a still, small voice. You can't hear God. You're too busy with your Facebook or your Instagram or your, you know, Twitter or your TV news. You know what? The less news I hear, the more I can hear God. God's speaking to you. He is calling you. He's calling you. You say, "Oh, I'm so glad I'm too old to serve God now. I don't have to, you know." No. He's calling you. "I'm just a kid." No, He's calling you. "Well, I've been a part of this church for years." He is calling you. And you got to be like little Samuel. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Would you say that with me? "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Say it again. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening."